Today is Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. St. Paul, in our passage from Thessalonians, says, "Rejoice always." We rejoice because we have hit the midpoint of Advent. And so our rose candle is now lit. Priests traditionally wear rose, not pink, rose vestments, as a sign that even though we're still in this purple season of preparation and penance, in about 10 days, we will be celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Savior. So we rejoice. We should have great joy. My brothers and sisters, you and I have to remember, though, the joy that we celebrate is not a joy of this world. Too oftentimes when we think of joy, we think about really a fleeting, happy experience. For instance, if we have a good day, we have joy. If we have a bad day, we're just totally miserable. Or in this Christmas preparation time, some may find a fleeting happiness in perhaps a gift, hoping that they receive that special gift. But that doesn't bring lasting joy. Anything material eventually deteriorates or breaks or maybe simply becomes boring. I remember when my nephew and niece were very young, they received so much from relatives. And oftentimes, it was just like, unwrap the gifts. And then it was like, dull. And some toys did not even get played with. Some ended up in the bottom of a toy chest. So where's the joy there? Passing joy. Or during this time, we may find some fleeting happiness in a social gathering. And that's good. But if we aren't careful, the next day, that happiness turns into nausea, headaches, exhaustion. So, where's the joy there? No, the joy that we celebrate today, this Gaudete Sunday joy, this joy that St. Paul wants us to have, is really a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit in the sense that it begins with the inspiration and the motivation of the Holy Spirit. When we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, doing what is true, good, and right in the eyes of God, we will find joy. When we live our lives in harmony with God, living in accord with those inspirations, and then live in harmony with others around us, that's when we find joy. In our beautiful responsorial this evening, we have just a little passage from Mary's Magnificat. She says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Our Blessed Mother knew that joy because she was full of grace. She cooperated with the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. She lived in harmony with God and those around her. This is the joy we want to have. And this is the greatest gift that we could receive this Christmas. But how? Well, St. Paul tells us. St. Paul says, right after, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Be honest. Do you take the time to pray each day? Prayer is so important because it brings us into a friendship with the Lord. That's what it's about. When we think of any good friend, it just doesn't happen. It takes time. We have to get to know that person. And we do things with that person. We share our life with that person. And that continues to grow more deeply so that friendship continues to grow. That's what prayer does, except it's our relationship with the Lord. Therefore, for the next 10 days, and hopefully that'll set a good foundation for the rest of your life, make sure you take that time to pray. Prayer can come in many ways. Yes? Saying our formal prayers is a good way to pray. Or saying the rosary and just meditating on those different mysteries of our Lord's life. Reading sacred scripture and pondering those words. That's what meditation is. Pondering the words. Putting ourselves in the situation. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak with us. That is meditation. Prayer can be reading something of a good spiritual book, life of a saint, maybe something of the catechism, and again, pondering. But that's prayer. I want to emphasize the part of whether it's reading sacred scripture or studying our faith. One of the real problems in our world, well, in our church, is so many people do not really know their faith. It stops after eighth grade, religious said. And if you grew up in the late 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe the religious ed program wasn't so good. Time to really learn the faith. How beautiful that is, though. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. John of the Cross. Now, officially he's bumped because of Gaudete Sunday. But here was a mystic. And he said, when we study and prayerfully study, it's like going into a gold mine. And we see this gold mine, this rich vein of gold. And we just dig it out because we want that gold. When we think we're all finished, we see another vein. And we keep on digging. But if we keep on getting deeper and deeper in the life of God. That's what it's about. We should never stop learning our faith. Never stop trying to understand our faith better, but allowing it to help us know our Lord. And then that friendship grows too. Of course, part of our prayer is going to just allow our heart to speak with the heart of our Lord, and that is good. Just to bear our troubles, ask for our helps, pray for our loved ones. But then St. Paul does go on. And St. Paul says, give thanks. That needs to be part of our prayer life too. To take time each day to give thanks for just two basic gifts, our faith. Where would we be without our Lord Jesus and our church? And secondly, for our family and other loved ones. Everything else could go. But if we have our faith and we have our loved ones, we can find joy in our lives. It was interesting, I read an article, was from a psychology center, and it said that there's so many studies today because of all the social media, and especially like with Facebook. And more studies are showing that more people are suffering from anxiety, depression, stress, and anger because they look and see what everyone else has on Facebook and they think, well, I don't have that. Where's the joy? Be thankful for what you have. Don't worry about the person across the street. Don't worry about the person on Facebook. Be thankful. Faith and family. And St. Paul then says, test the spirits. This is very important because poor, weak individuals that we are, we do face temptation. We can have bad thoughts, bad thinking, what my uncle used to call stinking thinking. But when we have that, we could easily sin. Instead, we always have to ponder, is this true to the Lord? Is what I'm thinking, what I'm planning on doing, in accord with what is in the commandments, what the church teaches? Is it of the truth, goodness, and beauty of the Lord? If not, reject it, because that could lead us to sin. So we reject all those negative thoughts, even thoughts of hurts of the past. Reject that, because the devil uses all of those things to try to quench, to suffocate that joy in our lives. Here again, we have to remember, the devil would like us to think that things that are sinful are joyous. And some people, sadly, look to those things. How many college students that we've heard about this fall, especially what's been going on at UVA, have given into the alcohol abuse, drug abuse, sex out of marriage, and so on? Well, where's the joy in their life now? Oh, yes, they thought, oh, this is going to bring me happiness. I can tell you there are many broken hearts because of what they thought might be joyful was in fact leading to sin, destruction. So we have to test the spirits and reject what is not true and good in the eyes of God. Now, if we put all this together, our prayer time, we could say 15 minutes of our prayers, 15 minutes for study, reading sacred scripture. How beautiful that would be, and what a friendship we would have. Notice, though, that St. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Well, what does he mean by that? We can't spend our whole lives here in church. So what do? Well, it means that while we have our good set prayer time, that we need to punctuate our day. So like a little morning prayer, bedtime prayer, grace at meals, It can be saying little happy aspirations to Almighty God, like thank you, Lord, for this day, or praise the Lord for this. It can be little aspirations of help, such as, Lord, I need help. This burden is heavy to carry. Whatever it may be, those are good prayers. They make us mindful of the Lord. Part of the prayer can be assisted by just having the holy pictures around us, whether at our home, a holy picture like of the Christmas scene, Joseph, Mary, baby Jesus, on our desk, in our locker at school, in our car, wherever we may be. Those little pictures help us to appreciate the love of the Lord. Pray always. So the idea is living in the presence of Christ. But while we focus on that joy that is in relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, joy also comes when we share it with others. When we think of John the Baptist or Isaiah, the prophet, we remember those words that they were sent to heal the brokenhearted, to level the mountains, to make the path straight. You and I will find joy if we can help other people. We all know that when we've helped someone in need, we feel good. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. We've done the will of God. The Lord has worked through our life. Think of a way between now and Christmas when you can do something to help someone else. Now, it can be just being cheerful and courteous in this crazy busy time of the year. That's a good thing. But maybe there's someone in your family that's alone. Maybe someone in the neighborhood who is elderly and alone. Someone who may have suffered a tragedy, a hurt, disappointment in recent times. What can you do for that person? I guarantee you, if you reach out to that person, you will find a joy and a real meaning to Christmas. I remember a family that lived in our parish for the first several years, then they moved down to Richmond. But they had a tradition that every Christmas Eve in the afternoon, they would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, at this time, their kids were little, so grade school age. And they would buy blankets from Costco and so on. They'd drive down to D.C. around 3 in the afternoon to, like, Lafayette Park, a place where there are homeless people, and just give those things out. Not asking any questions, just offering. The kids loved it because they felt good. They were helping someone else. Yes, the next day they received their gifts, but they had given a great gift to someone else. Yes, the love we share with our Lord has to be shown to others. Now, if we put it all together, how would we apply this to a very tragic situation that happened this week? The Gemmel family in Montgomery County. As you heard on the news, the father, husband, had gone to work. One child was in school, and a plane crashed into the home, killing the mom and the two little children. House, everything was totally destroyed. Where will they find joy this Christmas? Well, they aren't going to find it in a gift. They aren't going to find it in anything, really, that the world would say is joyful. And granted, it's going to take time. Just the shock of the whole situation is mind-boggling for any of us. But where would they find joy? Only in knowing that Jesus loves them. Only in knowing that He came to give everlasting life. That there is a life beyond this. Only in knowing that He will help them carry their cross and get through this. Only in knowing that a Good Friday will always lead to an Easter Sunday if we're faithful to the Lord. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes it'll just be that gut-level faith, just like Job had, who had lost everything in an instant. And some of his friends said, "Why don't you just curse God?" And Job said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job struggled through it. But in the end, he found joy. And what joy they'll have in just knowing people care. Because the news said last night that over $400,000 has been raised to help them out. That a man has even offered an anonymous donor to pay for the funerals, just to know that people care. That will bring some joy. It's not to minimize the situation, but it's the only way to get through life. It's with our Lord, with helping others. And that's when we find ourselves. So in the end, we think of joy. J for Jesus, O for others, the Y for you. Put it all together and we'll know true joy this Christmas. May God bless you.